Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we discussed Yerovam ben Nevat and his success in leading the masses to leading them astray to believing that it's okay to visit his two golden calves, one in Don and one in Beisel, instead of going to Yerushalayim during the Aliyas HaRegel, the three major holidays that appear during the course of the year. How did he accomplish this? So it was through a ploy whereby he had a tzaddik seated in the presence of a Rasha, and this was all described at the bottom of Kuf Aleph Omid Beis. For our purposes, let us simply say that Yerovam successfully tricked the tzaddik into signing a proclamation that one is to follow Yerovam in all that he says, including the service of these golden calves. The Gemara at the top of Kuf Beis is a continuation and says, V'af Achiyo Hashiloni Ta'a V'chosam. Even the righteous prophet Achiyo Hashiloni was tricked and signed this document during that particular incident that was featured at the bottom of Kuf Aleph Omid Beis. The Gemara will show that Achiyo Hashiloni was one of the signers as we go on. We have a long point that starts here and continues down a number of lines, and you can see this with our long point indicator, which is a circled nun that you find to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and a vertical dashed line indicating the length of this point. And we mentioned that Achiyo Hashiloni also was tricked into signing this. The whole Yehu, there was a king number of generations later, after Yerovam, who actually came after Achav, Tzadiko Rabba Have, he is described as a very righteous man. Shenemar Vayomer Hashem El Yehu, Yan Asher Hativoy Selasas Yosheb Be'enai Kechol Asher Bilvov Yosiso, the Veis Achav, since you have done that which I wanted you to do to the household of Achav, B'nei Rivim Yeshvu Loch Al Kisei Yisrael, you will see four generations seated on the throne of your kingdom. Uksiv V'yehu Lo Shamar Lo Lechaz B'Torah Hashem Elokei Yisrael B'chol Levavo. Another pasuk says that Yehu didn't follow all of God's Torah. Lo Sor Me'al Chatas Yerovam Asher Hechti Es Yisrael. He didn't veer away from the sin that was generated by Yerovam. This is a specific reference to the golden calves. In other words, during Yehu's realm, people were still going to those golden calves instead of going on Aliyas HaRegel. My Gormale, what caused Yehu, otherwise is portrayed as a tzaddik, what caused him to think that these golden calves were legitimate? So if we skip the bracketed section for a moment, we read in the Gemara, Rova Omar, Choysomoi Shalachia Shiloni Ra'a, he saw the signature of this well-known pious prophet, Achiyo Hashiloni, V'tah, and Yehu made a mistake. Dichtiv, V'shachato Sheitim Hemiku Vani Musar Lekulam. Rashi offers two interpretations for understanding the word V'shachatu, either from the Lashon of Shtus, of foolishness, or Shchita. But either way, for our purposes, we see from this particular Gemara and Rava's explanation that Achia HaShiloni signed the document issued by Yerovam, which declared that it's okay to serve those golden calves. And as a result of Achia signing it, Yehu erred. We skipped a little piece of Gemara, but deliberately. There's a bracketed section. Our note concerning the brackets is found on the side of the Gemara next to the star. Samnu es Abaye b'sogrim. We placed Abaye in brackets. Because she'ikra ha'ichocha la'nekudu haruka, because the main proof to the long point that we are learning in the Gemara, bo midivrei Rava, comes from what Rava says. The basis of this you can see in Rashi, Dibur HaMaschil Shenemar, second line from the top. Let us go over now the bracketed section for the sake of completion. The Gemara mentioned what caused Yehu to err and follow the sin of Yerovam. So, Omar Abaye, Bris, Kruso L'Sfasayim. That which one says, that comes forth from one's lips, has a binding force. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Achav Ovar Habal Me'at, Yehu Yavdenu Harbe. Where Achav served the Baal. The Baal is the name of an idol, little, which is actually an exaggeration. Achav served it a lot, but Yehu will serve it even more. So by having said that Yehu would serve it even more, it actually came to be that he continued a practice of idolatry. That is Abaye's approach to what caused Yehu to go astray with regard to the service of idols. Rava, on the other hand, offers his explanation, which is what was important for our long point in the Gemara. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This Rabbi Yochanan is going to be paraphrasing the pasuk that was found just above, where it said, "Veshachatu sheitim hemiku, vani musar lekulam." Kodesh Baruch Hu says, "Heim hemiku misheli." They were deeper than me, deeper, but in the sense more stringent than I. Ani omarti, I in my Torah, I declare, kol sheina oilu leregel, oiver basay, anyone who doesn't go to Yerushalayim during the holiday season is in violation of a positive command. The penalty that accompanies a bitul asay is not very severe in the realm of things. Vehem amru, but they, the Yerovam and company, and those in the northern kingdom that prevented people from going to Yerushalayim during the Aliyah Regel, and rather to go to those golden calves, they said, Kol ha'olah regel, anyone who goes to Yerushalayim, idoker becherev, shall be killed by the sword. So that they, in their rulings, are more strict than HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with regard to his rulings. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading, a tatnose, a subtopic, ad shura rishona horachava, until the first wide line of the Gemara, ha-Gemara doreshes ha-posuk vayhi bo'es, etc. So we open up this piece of Gemara with a posuk that is three lines, and as we mentioned in our introductory remark, the Gemara will be preoccupied with this posuk till the beginning of the wide lines. Vayhi bo'esahi v'yarovam yotza miyushalayim v'yimtza oisoi achia hashiloni hanovi baderech v'hu miskase besalmo chadosha. It was at that time that Yerovam left Yerushalayim and he was found by the prophet Achia, and literally he says he was covered with a new cloak. We now notice a geometric form, one of our series indicators. We have a triangle and double underline. This is explained under the Mivneh heading on the side. You see the triangle and double underline. Sidra shel itim mezumanim. lepuranos, and you'll notice a flipped over triangle, le toiva. Reference is made to certain times that are times designated either for punishment or for good. And we'll eventually in the Gemara see an example of a place designated for Puranas as opposed to time. And that will be featured by a triangle but with a dashed effect to it. Tana Mishum Rabbi Yossi. This pasuk, the pasuk we just read three lines up, said Vayhi bo Ace. So he explains Ace he mizumenes le Puranas, a time designated for punishment. This pasuk, the pasuk that we read from the book of Melachim Aleph, Perek Yudal Pasuk Haftes, Rashi points out mizumenes le Puranas, shesham nechlika malchus Yisrael. It was at that incident that where that pasuk appeared that the kingdom of Israel was split. The Samichle, next to it, you find Vayikach es Asamo Vayikra Lishnaim Osar Kroyim. In that incident, the article of clothing was taken and torn into 12 pieces, indicating the division of the nation of Israel. So the expression Vayibo Ace is a reference to the designation of a time for trouble. We notice a bracketed section, and the length of this section is indicated by our bracket length marker. It's a vertical dash dotted line that you see running down to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, where that dash dotted line ends in the corresponding line of Gemara. You'll notice the closing of the brackets. We have a note on the side indicating Acharei Hasagrayim HaGemara Chizeres Linyone Yerovam. After the brackets, the Gemara will go back and discuss matters concerning Yerovam. And more specifically, we'll be turning back to the Pasuk that we opened up with in this recent section of Gemara and darshan it further. With that awareness in mind, we can now go straight through the bracketed section. There's another pasuk that says, "Be'es pugudasam yovedu, tana mishum Rabbi Yossi, es mizumenes lepuranas." Another pasuk says, "Be'es rotzon an imisicha, tana mishum Rabbi Yossi, es mizumenes letoiva, a time designated for good." After the Maisa Egel in the Torah, we're going to the earlier Egel. It says, "Uviyoyim pokdi ufakadati aleim chatosam." Tana mishum Rabbi Yossi, es hi mizumenes lepuranas. That there will be times designated for punishment, punishments that are associated with the golden calf. Vayi bo esahi vayered Yehuda meis echov. This was an incident featured in the Sefer Bereishis. After the sale of Yosef, it says that Yehuda went away and went down from his brothers. Tana mishum Rabbi Yossi, es mizumenes lepuranas. At that point, there was the story involving Tamar, and that led to a situation where she, Tamar, the daughter-in-law of Yehuda, eventually, as a result of their encounter, she was almost subjected to being burnt. And we also know that from her intimacy with Yehuda, she bore a couple of children. But we also know that his own sons, the sons of Yehuda, Er Va'onan, as a result of this whole story involving Tamar, they eventually met their death. Hence, it's appropriate that that this drasha accompanies this particular pasuk that says Vayibo Esahi Vayered Yehuda. That was a time of Puranas. Vayelech Rechavam Shchem ki Shchem bo kol Yisrael lahamlich oisoi. The coronation of Rechavam was in Shchem. Tana mishum Rabbi Yossi, mokoim mezuman lepuranas. Shchem is a place that's designated for trouble. B'shchem, and it's now enumerated, B'shchem inu esdina, in Shechem, Dina was subjected to sexual violation. B'Shechem Mochru Echov Es Yosef. It was there that the sale of Yosef took place. B'Shechem Nechleka Malchus based of it. And it was in Shechem that the kingdom of Israel was split between Rechavam and Yerovam, as is described in Sefer Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Beis. Turning back to Yerovam and the pasuk that we mentioned above, in order to help navigate a little bit, we've provided a star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. And what you have to do is find the corresponding star above, and you'll see where this is coming from. The Yerovam Yotza Mirushalayim. Omar Rabbi Chanino Bar Papa, she Yotza Mipiska Shel Yerushalayim. He left the fate of Yerushalayim never to return. Vayimsa Oisai Achia Shiloni Anovi Baderech Vumiskase Bisalmo Chadosha Ushnehem Levadom Basode. In this particular section, we've underlined the phrases that the Gemara will be focusing on. My Bisalmo Chadosha. What is meant by this new garment? Why does the pasuk emphasize its newness? Omar Rav Nachman, Kesalmo Chadosha. Ma Salmo Chadosha Ein Bo Shum Dofi. Just like a new garment has no imperfections in it, it's brand new. Af Toroso Shirovam Lo Hayaboya Shum Dofi. So too the Torah learning of Yerovam was without a failing. It was a complete. He was a Torah scholar of massive proportions. Dover Achir Salmo Chadosha. Shechitchu dvarim shaloshamu oizen meolam. Yerovam and Achia were successful in sharing Torah novelty, new ideas, chidushei Torah that no one had ever heard before. Mai ushneim levadam basade. What is meant by that? That it says the two of them were alone, and it emphasizes in the field. What's the point? What's the teaching behind this? Omar, in order, of course, to see where these different quotes are coming from, we've also provided arrows to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, whereby you try to find a parallel arrow a little bit of higher up, and you'll see where this is coming from. So what is meant by the two of them were alone in the field? We have a couple explanations. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Rav, Shekol Talmidei Chachomim, all the rest of the Torah scholars of their time, Doimin Lefneim Ki'isvei Hasode, were like grass in the field. In other words, these two are portrayed as monumental scholars, and all the rest of those in that generation were like mere grass at their feet. V'Iko Di Omar, another approach, Shekol Tamei Torah Megulin Lehem Kasode, that all the reasons of the Torah and its mitzvos were revealed to them, to Yerovam and Achia, showing their greatness in Torah learning. Kasada, just like a field, is an area that's exposed. V'chein titni shiluchim al moreshes gas, bote achziv la'achzov l'malchi Yisrael. This will be explained by the Gemara in detail. Omar Rav Chanina Bar Papa, Yosa Baskol, V'omru Lahem, a heavenly voice came forth and announced. In this, the pasuk we just quoted, there was a reference to Moresh's Gas. Gas was a place that was previously occupied by the Plishtim. The Gemara says, in the quoting this heavenly voice that said, Mi shaharag es haplishti, v'horish eschem gas. He who killed Goliath, this is a reference to David HaMelech that killed Goliath, and as a result of the defeat of their leader, the Jewish people were able to take over Vahurish Eschem Gas, take over the area of Gas. This great man, David HaMelech, and his family, and his kingdom, Titnu Shiluchim Lebanov, are you sending away his descendants? In other words, the attempt to follow Yerovam was a slap in the face to David HaMelech, who was responsible for great victories for the benefit of the Jewish people. And here, they seem to be turning away from his descendants. Therefore, Botei Achziv Leachzov Lemalchei Yisrael. Rashi says, a few lines from the bottom of the inside column of commentary, Botei Achziv Leachzov Lemalchei Beis David Atem Mechazvim. You are dealing falsely with the house of David, V'alachtem Achar Malchei Yisrael, and you've chosen to follow the northern kingdom. L'fikach Tiu Nimsarim Leachzov. And therefore, you are going to be given over to Achzov. What does that mean? Biyad Oivdei Kechovim Shem Shotei Chozov. You eventually will be given over to idol worshippers that are replete with falseness. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Rav Chinuno Bar Popa, Kohanenem in Oilum Hazeh Beloi Brocha. Anyone who derives benefit from this world, for example, eating, drinking, and the like, without making a bracha, blessing beforehand, it's as if he's stealing from God and from the Jewish people. The idea of stealing from God is expressed by another pasuk, which says, Lashem ha'aretz imloa, that God is the owner of the world and its contents. Hence, if I come along and take something and benefit from something in this world that essentially belongs to God without seeking his permission beforehand, or without, for our purposes, without saying a bracha beforehand, you're stealing from God. The idea of stealing from Knesset Yisrael is as follows, that when one recites a bracha over, let us say, a fruit, that causes Shomayim, causes HaKadosh Baruch Hu to issue more plenty to the world. Therefore, if I take something and I take a food item or derive other kinds of pleasure without making the bracha, I'm depriving Knesset Yisrael, I'm depriving the Jewish people from this element of plenty. And the pasuk indicates the idea of theft as follows. Shenemar, the Gemara continues, Goizel oviv v'imoi v'oimer ein poshea chover hu l'ish mashchis. And the Gemara explains the details now. V'ein oviv ela kodesh baruch hu. The pasuk said he steals from his father. Who is that? That's a reference to God. Shenemar, referring to using the term oviv as a reference to God, is seen in the following. Halo hu ovicha konecha. Ve'ein imo elo Knesset Yisrael. We find the term imo as a reference to the Jewish people. Shenemar, Shma b'ni Musar avicha ve'al titoish toiras imecha. And not to abandon the Torah of imecha, that's the Torah of Israel. My chover hu li'ish mashchis. What's meant by that? We saw that in the pasuk quoted just two lines above this. Chover hu, he who takes from this world without making a bracha beforehand, is a friend, becomes a friend of Chavrhu Yeravam ben Nevat. He becomes bound with Yeravam. Shehishchis Yisrael Laviem Shebashamayim, who caused the Jewish people to be destroyed with regard to their bond with God. Fayidach Yeravam es Yisrael me'acharei Hashem ve'hechtiyom chato gedoyla. That's the pasuk, and the Gemara will cite a type of analogy to express this idea of vayidach yiravam. Amar Rebbe Chonin, kishtei maklois hamatizos zuitz. The idea of the Jewish people being distanced from Hashem is a very far distancing, as two sticks. If one hits one, uses a stick to hit another, he'll cast it at a great distance. Since we mentioned the golden calves of Yeravam, the Gemara now cites a pasuk that will have relevance to the original golden calf in the Exodus from Egypt story. The pasuk says, Vidi Zahav, which is really the name of one of the places that the Jews encamped in when they were leaving Mitzrayim. However, the Gemara has a drosha concerning this place name. Amru debei Rabbanai. Omar Moshe lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu exclaimed to God, Ribbono Shalom, Bishvil Kesef V'Zohov Shishpat Alam Yisrael, because of the gold and silver that you provided in plenty to the Jewish people at the time they left Mitzrayim, Ad Shiyomru Dai, there was so much that they said, enough, enough. That's the Vidi Zohov, enough gold. They were claiming, they were screaming, enough, enough. And because of this great plenty that they have, Goram Lohem Lasois Lohem Elohei Zohov, this caused them, this situation of having great plenty, in fact, caused them to go astray and to make a golden god. Moshal, and an analogy to explain this scenario. Ein Ari Dereis Venohem Mitoch Kupo Shel Teven Ela Mitoch Kupo Shel Bosar. A lion doesn't trample and roar when all it has to eat is straw. When do you notice a lion becoming full of strength and power of its own? That's when it's that's when it's confronted with a receptacle full of meat. What's the idea over here? The roaring lion is parallel to the Jews who went off the path, went off on their own, so to speak, their own independence, leaving God. And that's a situation that arises when a person has, when people have a great deal of personal comfort, they have a tendency to be less concerned with the performance of Torah mitzvahs. There's another pasuk that parallels this idea that says Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivot, the people became fat and they rebelled. Continuing in our Gemara, Amar Hoshaya, Ad Yeravam Ho Yisrael Yonkim Me Egel Echad. Until Yeravam's time, the Jewish people were Yonkim, literally means suckling, but means they were deriving punishment, if you will, as a result of one calf, the golden calf of the Yitzias Mitzrayim story. Mikan ve'elech, but from Yeravam's time onwards, Mishnayim u'shlosha agolim, from the two additional agolim of Yeravam, that leads to a total of three agolim calves, golden calves. That because of these three, the Jewish people were accumulating more and more sins. Amar Yitzchak, Ein lecha kol puranus upuranus shebo le'olam she'ein bo echad mi'esim v'arba b'hechrea litra shel egel harishon. There isn't any trouble or suffering that comes to this world that doesn't have in it a little element of the golden calf. In other words, the original golden calf. This is an expression, we have it in singular quotation marks, Echod mi'esrim abor v'hechrea litra, we're going to be translating simply as a small measure of the golden calf retribution involved. Shneamar, uv'yoyim pokti ufokadeti aleim chatosam. On the day that I visit upon you judgment, I will also be visiting upon you the judgment of that original golden calf sin. Omar Rabbi Chanina, the Achar Esrim Ba'arba Duros Nigva Pasuk Ze. 24 generations after the Maisa Egel, Rashi goes through a generational accounting, which actually leads you to the Churban HaBayis, the time of the final exile in the temple, first temple period. That was 24 generations after the Maisa Egel, after the golden calf incident in the desert. Then this pasuk came to its end. In other words, there's no more Egil Hazov sin that's part of heavenly punishment that comes upon our people. Shenemar vayikro bi'oznai kol gadol lemor korvu pkudoi soir v'ish kli mashchesoi biyodoi. That pasuk indicates that the end of those pekudos, tied into the expression b'yom pokadeti ufokadeti aleim chatosim from the line before, that the time of these punishments, the punishments associated with the Egel Hazov, is coming to a close. Achar hadover hazeh lo shov Yeravam midarko hora'a. The pasuk says, after a particular incident, Yeravam still did not turn away from his evil path. My achar, after what? Omar Rabbi Abba, achar After God, so to speak, grabbed Yerovam by his garment and said, "V'omarlo, chazor b'cha vani v'ata uben Yishai netayel began Eden. Turn back, and I, and you, and Ben Yishai, reference to David, will walk together in Gan Eden, in the Garden of Eden." In other words, here the Kodesh Baruch Hu is making a, we'll call it a final plea to Yerovam, do tshuva, and you will merit a portion in Gan Eden. I've heard it explained that if you look at this pasuk carefully, you see the order of names. You see the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Vani, and then Ve'ata, you, in this position number two, Yerovam, and position number three, David. God is saying to him in this pasuk how they will be walking together. And if you, as we mentioned just now, if you look at the positioning, it seems that Yerovam was going to be in front of David. And yet, Omar lo, mi barosh, Yerovam says, who's going to be in front? So as part of the explanation that I've heard in the past, Yerovam already knew who's going to be walking in front, as we pointed out that Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Va'ata, and then Ben Yishai. Yerovam, in asking this question, wasn't asking for the purpose of discovering who was going to be in front, but he simply wanted to hear it again. This would be another expression of his haughtiness that the Gemara referred to earlier, that we saw on the previous staff on Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, that in the name of Rav Nachman, Gasus Haruach Shoeba Yerovam Tardosu Min HaOlam, he apparently was a person of at a great measure of haughtiness, and it wasn't enough for him to hear it, to be aware of his being in front, but he had to hear it as well. And that's what this says here. He asks who's going to be in front, and as a result of asking that, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers, Ben Yishai Barosh, David will be ahead of you. And to that he said, Ihachi, if that's the way it's going to be, in other words, even if I'll be zochet to be with you in Gan Eden, lo bo'ino, I don't want it. If I can't be in front, it's not worth it. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a geometric form. We see a diamond. The Mivneh heading that we have to the side, the structural note, features the diamond. Beis Amoroim, there are two Amoroim, Hamityachasim Lemelochim She'ein Lehem Chelek L'Mabo, that they will be featuring, the Gemara will feature them in the context of those kings that were mentioned in the Mishnah as not having a portion in the world to come. Rabbi Avoh have a rogil the have a kodorish b'shlosha melachim. Rabbi Avoh, on a regular occasion, would elaborate on the three kings that don't have a chelum abal. Rashi, at the end of the outside column of commentary, he says the avidorish b'shlosha melachim, the avikoi b'masnisin, the shlosha melachim ein lohem chelik. When he was holding in our Mishnah, so he would expound on them. Cholash, Rabbi Avoh took sick. He took ill. And he apparently made an association that his holding forth and darshaning on this topic was somehow associated with his taking ill. Kabul Olei Delo Dorash. He accepted upon himself that he's not going to elaborate on this topic. And as a result of that, it seems that he got better. Kevan de Isbach, once he got better, Hodar Kodorash. He turned back to Darshan on them. Amri, the students, asked him, Lo kabilis alach de lo darshis behu? Did you not accept upon yourself that you're not going to engage in discussing them? Omar, so Rabbi Avoh responded, Inhu mihadru behu da'ano ahadar bi? Did they do tshuva? Did they turn back from their evil ways that I should turn back and not darshan about them? Rav Ashi, we have a long maisa marking. You can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text the word maisa written in and encircled with a vertical dashed line indicating that this incident, this maisa, will last all of the lines of Gemara that are parallel to this long marking. Rav Ashi Uki Ashloshim Lochem. Rav Ashi reached a point in his learning that he was confronted with the three kings. In other words, he reached our Mishnah. Omar, he said, "Lemochar niftach b'charvin." Tomorrow, we're going to hold forth on our colleagues. Also, Menashe is chazilei b'chalmei. King Menashe, who lived many, many years before Ravashi, appeared to Ravashi in a dream. Omar. And Menashe says, with exclamation, he says, "Chavroch v'chaveri davuch koreslon." You call us your friends and your father's friends, your colleagues. In other words, equals. Well, I have a question for you. Mehecha boyis lemishra hamotzi. From where does one cut the bread when he makes the brocha of hamotzi lechem in oretz? What is the appropriate point on the loaf of bread to cut? Omar lei lo yadana. Ravashi says, I don't know. Omar lei. So Menashe says back, this halacha you don't know, and you call us your friends? Omar lei mehecha debois lemishra hamotzi lo gamiras. You haven't even learned that, the chavroch korislon, and you call us your colleagues? Omar lei. So Rav Ashi turns to Menashe, and says, Agmere li, teach it to me. Ulemochar darishna le mishimcha bepirka. And tomorrow I will feature it, I will teach over this halacha in your name in the shiur. Omar le, Menashe says, he answers, Mehecha dekorim bishula. The place on the bread to cut after reciting the Birchas Hamotzi is from the place that it crusts, where the bread bakes best. There's more detail as far as this is concerned. It's found in the Rashi, but for our purposes, we will continue in the Gemara. Omar lei, so Rav Ashi asks, Menashe me'achar dechachim tu kulei hai, after it is so that you're so wise, my taimo kopachisu lavadis kochavim, why is it that you worshipped idols? Omar lei, Menashe says back, Ihaves Hosam, if you were living in our generation, Havana Kitna Bishipuli Glimo Viratos Abasroi, you would have raised the bottoms of your garments to enable you to run, so that you would be able to run faster by raising the long garments that you wear. You'd be able to run all the faster and follow us in pursuit of idolatry. And this is a reference to the evil, the Yetzirah, the evil inclination that possessed people at that time period for idolatry. This Yetzirah is something that we are not familiar with today, because at the beginning of Bayis Sheni, there was already a tefillah issued by the Anshei Knesset Agdola, which was featured earlier in this Maseches, which was responsible for the Yetzer of Avodah Zorah to be muted. Lemochar Omar Lehu, the next day, Omar Lehu LeRabbonan, Rav Ashi, said to the scholars, Niftach B'Rav Vosa, let us open our shiur with our rabbis. An expression of honor to these very kings that Ein Lehem Chelek L'Olam Haba. As you can see in the markings, we have a slash that appears in the Gemara. This indicates that the ensuing piece of Gemara is a new idea. On the side, we've also featured as our Nosei Achov. Achov, the next of the kings that is Ein Lo Chelek L'Olam Haba. The Gemara analyzes his name. Achov equals Ach L'Shamayim Av L'Avodes Kechovim. The word Ach is associated with the idea of Ra, with evil, or we can also say woe. The Gemara explains a little further. Ach L'Shamayim, where do we see the word Ach in the context of Tzora, of woes? Dichtiv, Ach L'Tzora Yivaleid. And Tzora has to do with troubles. Av Lavodis Kechovim, Dichtiv, Kirachem Av al bonim. The word Av means literally means father, but it's an expression referring to Ahava, with love. So that Ahav was a woe as far as the Almighty is concerned, and he loved Avodah Zorah. And the expression showing that Av is associated with love is in this pasuk of Kerachem of Albonim, like the mercy that a father has for his sons, or the love that a father has for his sons. Vayi hanokel lechtoi bechatois Yerovam ben Nevat. We now go on in the Gemara with a new geometric form, one of our series indicators. We see a triangle feature. On the side, there is an explanation for this triangle. You'll notice the Mivneh note. Rabbi Yochanan is featured in the triangles. Heora, we want to make a note here that Ro'inu Lunachon, we saw fit, Lahavlit, to emphasize Shmoi Shu Rabbi Yochanan, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Me'achar Shu Mofia, Kemeforesh Ho'ikari Shel Apsukim, Banosei Shel Achov Umenashe. We find him to be the main commentator with regard to the psukim that are relevant to the topic of Achov and Menashe. So as you go down the page, you'll notice Rabbi Yochanan appearing time and time again in this capacity. We read a pasuk from Sefer Melachim Aleph, Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, that said, "Vayi anokel lechtoi bechatos Yerova ben Avod." Amar Rabbi Yochanan, "Kalois shosa Achov, the least of Achov's offenses, kechamuros shosa Yerovam, were like the worst offenses of Yerovam." In other words, Achov is portrayed here as a much more severe offender than Yerovam was. If that be the case, umibnei ma tolo hakosu b'Yerovam, why is it that there are a number of psukim that when wanting to describe ra, when wanting to describe evil, it is Yerovam's name that is associated with it? Rashi points out at the top of the inside column of commentary, he says that you find psukim that say time and time again, lo sor mikol chatois Yerovam, that when wanting to describe kings that were evil, it says they didn't veer off of the sins of Yerovam. It doesn't say the sins of Achav, even though Achav was worse than Yerovam. So why is it that Yerovam is featured as the archetype of Ra? The Gemara answers, "Mipnei shehu hoya tchila l'kalkala," because he is the one that started. He's the one that started veering off the path, and with that in mind, and all the rest following him, he is credited with being the sinner. Gam mizbechoisam kigalim al talmei sodoi. Om Rabbi Yochanan, ein lecha kol telem v'telem beretz Yisrael. There is no furrow in Israel. Shelo hemid olav achov avodes kechavim v'shtachav olav. That Achov didn't set up an idol over there and bow to it. Umenolan delo osi lamo da osi. We saw this question before in the context of Yerovam. Here the Gemara is asking, in the context of Achav, from where do you know that he doesn't have a portion in Olam Haba? Dichtiv, v'ichrati la'achav mashtin bekir, v'otsur v'ozuv b'Yisrael. The Gemara explains, otsur equals b'olam hazeh, v'ozuv l'olam haba. And for our purposes, the main point is ozuv l'olam haba, from this we know he has no chelik in Olam Haba. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Mipnei Ma Zocha Omri L'Malchus. We have a double underlining feature, which is another series marking, and we've explained on the side that this comes to emphasize the expression Mipnei Ma Zocha, etc. So in this case, which means through what did so and so merit whatever. So Rabbi Yochanan asks the question, Mipnei Ma Zocha Omri L'Malchus. Omri was the father of Achav. Through what merit did he have to assume the kingship? Mipnei Shehoisif Krach Echod Be'eretz Yisrael. Omri, the father of Achav, had the following merit, that he, well, as Morris says, he literally, he added a city, he built a city in Eretz Yisrael, And as we go on in the Gemara, it seems that maybe he didn't necessarily build a city, but simply he refurbished or improved an existing place. It says, Vayiken es Hahor Shomron me'es Shemer b'kikrayim kesef Vayiven es Hahor Vayikro es Shemo Ira Shebono al Shem Shemer Adonai Hahor Shomron. He acquired from a fellow by the name of Shemer. This Omri acquired an area from this fellow by the name of Shemer, an area, and he built it up, and he called the area Shomron in honor of the fellow from whom he acquired this region. We see from here something of phenomenal importance. That Omri, who was far from a pious individual, he was an evil man, and yet he merited the reward of Malchus because of establishing, causing improvement to something dealing with Eretz Yisrael. So that one should bear in mind when he sees this, that when dealing with even those that are evil, but they do something of a positive nature with regard to Eretz Yisrael, that is itself considered something of merit. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mipnei ma zocha Achov l'malchus chof beis shana. What was the merit that Achov had in occupying the kingship for 22 years? What we want to emphasize here is not just the fact that he was a melech, but the 22-year aspect. And hence we've dashed, underlined, Chof Beis Shana. The answer to that is, M'nei Shekibed Esotero Shenitna B'Chof Beis Osios. Before we go further, let us also take note of the fact that we're about to start a long answer. The length of this is shown by our long answer marking, a tuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line indicating the length of this answer. So the Gemara started by saying that he honored the Torah, Shenitna B'chov Beis Osios, that was given in the Hebrew language that has 22 letters. Shinemar. Now we have a pasuk that lasts four lines. In other words, it's a string of psukim. In the course of these citations, we will see that the king of Aram approached or threatened Achav that he's going to take over everything, and he wants everything, including kol machmad einecha. We've dashed, underlined that expression a couple lines into this particular answer because this will be the main proof. He wants everything, including machmad einecha. At the end of this section, the Gemara will investigate what is this machmad einecha. And the Gemara will conclude it's a Sefer Torah. And what was happening in this story is that the king Ben-Hadad, who was threatening Achav, wanted everything including Achav's Sefer Torah. And Achav said, you can have everything, but I'm not giving you that. I'm not going to allow you to take my Sefer Torah. And through that, he was demonstrating his honor to the Sefer Torah. And as a result of that, he was zoche to monarchy for 22 years. We turn to the Gemara, Shenemar, the third of the widest lines. We've also written in between the lines, the pasuk is arba, is four shuros, four lines. Vayishlach malochim el achov melch Yisrael ha'ira. The king of Aram sent messengers to Achov. Vayomer lo koamar ben Hadad. Thusly said says Ben Hadad to you, to Achav, Kas b'cha uzahavcha lihu, your silver and gold is mine, v'noshecha uvanecha hatovim lihem, and your wives and your outstanding children are mine. Ki im ka'es mochar eshlach esavodai lecha, by tomorrow at this time I will be sending my servants to you, v'chipsu es beischa v'esbotei avodecha, and they will search out your house and the houses of your slaves. And they will take all that you desire and bring it to me. And Achov responded to the emissaries of Ben-Hadad, Imru Ladoni Hamelech, tell my master, the king, Kol Asher Shalachta El Avdecha B'Rishona Eseh, that everything that he sent to yours, to his servant, that's namely himself, to Achov, at the outset, I will do. V'adover hazeh lo uchal asos. However, this thing I cannot do. This thing, a reference to the machmad einecha, my machmad einecha, lav sefer Torah, is it not a reference to the sefer Torah that Achov was saying, I'm not giving him that? The Gemara says, well, maybe it means something else. Maybe what Achav was saying is that I'm not giving you my idols. The Gemara says, lo, salkod Achav. No, that thought you cannot entertain. Dichtiv, because in the same context it says, Vayomru elov kol hazikenim v'chol ha'om al tishma v'al toveh. The zikenim, the sages and the people said, don't listen to him, don't cooperate. So the fact that it says here that the sages agreed with Achav, it must be that he wasn't talking about keeping his idols. If it were a function of the king, Ben Hadad requesting the idols, that would, the Zakanim would have been very happy for him to cooperate. Somewhere says, who says that the Zakanim featured in this pasuk is a reference to Torah sages? V'dilma savi debaso havu. Maybe it means simple low life old men. Milo ksiv, does it not say Vayishar hadover be'enei Avshalom u'be'enei kol ziknei Yisrael? The Omar of Yosef ziknei debaso. We find the term ziknei used in the context of Avshalom, and Rav Yosef interprets the word ziknei Yisrael in that context as simply as low life old men, not having to do with scholarship. So the Gemara answers, there's a difference. Hossam, in the case of Avshalom, Loksi v'cholam, it doesn't say by Avshalom and all of the people as well. Hacha, in the case of Achav, ksiv v'chol ha'om, it says all of the people as well. The efshar the lavu b'hon tzadiki. It's impossible that there wouldn't be amongst the entire nation righteous ones as well, and they were agreeing with Achav not to give the machmad einecha uksiv, and this continuation proves that amongst the people of Achav, the Chol Ha'om, there were tzaddikim. It says, "Vishaarti b'Israel shivas alofim kol abir kaim ashelo koru labal v'chol ha'per ashelo noshaklo." That there were amongst the pious ones of the nation of Israel 7,000 people that did not bow to the Baal idol. So from the fact that you have not only Ziknei, but you have the Zikanim and Kol Ha'am as well, in unanimity, agreeing with Achav's resistance in giving over the Machmad Einecha, it must be that the Machmad Einecha is a reference to the Sefer Torah. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new geometric form. We have on the side a Tatnose, a subheading, and Mivneh, structural note. The house form is featured, and on the side we've written Shnei Deos, or two opinions or Gishot's approaches, Shemelamdin, that teach the Achtov Oyo Rak Chayov Bemechza, that he wasn't a complete Rasha, he was a half Rasha. Omar Rav Nachman, Achov Shokul Hoya, Achov was balanced meaning part sinful and part meritorious. Rashi says, "Shokoloi mechzo avoinus mechzo zuchuyos." The Gemara will prove this from the citation of a pasuk. This is actually a topic that was featured in a Gemara earlier in this Maseches, where Achav was going to go into battle, or there was a question of his going into battle against Aram. And in that battle, eventually, he would fall a victim. It wasn't so sure that he was to go into the battle, and Hashem requested, who is it that will seduce Achav into going into this battle to eventually find his death? The fact that Achav wasn't drawn into the battle with ease, but it was through an effort, a special effort. It shows that it wasn't so obvious that he was to be punished. And as a result of it not being so obvious that he deserves punishment, must be that he was a shokul, he was half meritorious and half evil. And as a result of that, it was necessary to make a special effort to allure him into his death. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem mi yifate es Achav, who will seduce Achav v'yal v'yipoil b'ramos Gilad, and he will eventually fall in that area called Ramos Gilad." Vayomer ze bechoi v'ze omer becho, and in response to the Kodesh Baruch Hu's request, different ones answered. This I will do it this way, and I will seduce him that way. Maski flor of Yosef. Rav Yosef raises a question to Rav Nachman's contention and says, "Man de kosabe, regarding whom it says, 'Rak loy hoyo ka'achov asher ismaker la'asoy zera b'nei Hashem, asher histo oiso izevel ishtoi.'" The pasuk describing someone else is saying he wasn't as bad as Achov, who did the ra b'nei Hashem. And it says, describing Achav's wife, Izebel, that she used to weigh out gold and offer gold to idols. And you're saying that he was an equal, that he was a 50% meritorious. This man that's described as being so committed to, he and his wife so committed to idolatry and evil, how can you call him shokel? Ella, we'll now see a second approach that helps to set things in perspective. Achav vatron b'mamono hoya. Achav was a person who was forgiving with regard to money matters. Umitoch shohoya mahana tamidi chome minechosov. And the fact that he was not tight-wadded with regard to his money and enabled Torah scholars to benefit from his wealth, kipru lo mechza, this served to atone for 50% of his massive amount of sin. This is a truly mind-boggling idea, that the amazing premium placed on those who benefit Talmidei Chachamim from their properties. We see here a description of someone who is the paradigm of evil, but because of this particular merit, he achieves 50% atonement. One can only imagine people who are not of this level of evil, who benefit Talmidei Chachamim from their properties, how much more so will they, these philanthropists and beneficiaries, be worthy of great merit. When we say, we should more accurately, benefactors, how they will be meritorious of great reward. Vayetze haruach vayamo lefnei Hashem. We turn back to the point mentioned before about who will go out and seduce Achav. Vayomer, this spirit came forth and stood in front of Hashem, and it said, "Ani afatenu, I will seduce him." Vayomer Hashem elov bameh, and Hashem asked, "Well, what's your plan of action?" Vayomer etze, I will go forth, says this spirit. Vayisi ruach sheker b'fi kol neviov, and I will be a spirit of lying in the mouths of all of his prophets. Vayomer, and Hashem says, "Tefateh v'gam tuchal, seduce, and you will be successful. Save ase kain, go out and do it." My ruach. So we're now going to analyze some of these elements. And says, the Gemara asks, "What's the spirit? What is it a reference to?" Amar Rav Yochanan, "Ruchoi shel Novos ha'Yisraeli." This was the spirit of Novos ha'Yisraeli. This was a man that refused to sell his vineyard to Achav, and as a result of his lack of cooperation, Achav murdered Novos. He was actually framed up. He was subject of a framing and eventually executed. So the spirit of this Novos, this victim of Achov's anger, is now arising, and he will be responsible for Achov's eventual downfall. My say, the pasuk mentioned earlier on the line where Hashem said, "Say vase kain." What does this say mean? Go out. Amar Avina, say mimichitzasi. You can go out and seduce him, but you must exit. You must leave my precinct, my inner sanctum. Shekain ksiv dover shkorim lo yikain leneged einai. That the speakers of lies cannot be opposite me, cannot be near me. What we've done with our markings, you can see we've dashed underlined shkorim, and two lines up, we dashed underlined the expression sheker, ruach sheker. So that we saw that as one who would be operating under the in the context of lies, he can no longer come back. This spirit can no longer come back and be part of the inner sanctum. Amar Rav Papa, Hainu Damri Inchi. Based on this, there is a common saying, Depora Kine Machriv Bese. One who seeks his vengeance eventually destroys his own house. So that this spirit who sought vengeance eventually caused his own downfall in that he was excluded from the Mechitzas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayas Achov es Hashira, Vayosef Achov Lasos, Lahachis es Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Mikol Malchi Yisrael Asher Hoyu Lefonov. This pasuk says that Achov continued to worship to the Asherah tree and do evil and rage HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than all the kings that preceded him. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shekosav al Dalsos Shomron, he etched out over the gates of Shomron, Achov Kofar Velokei Yisrael, that Achov denies the God of Israel. Lefikach ein lo chelek belokei Yisrael, and therefore he has no portion in the lot offered by God. Vayevakesh yisachazyohu vayekeduhu v'hu mischabe b'shomron. This pasuk refers to another king. It says that they sought him out and they captured him, and he was hiding in Shomron. Omar Rabbi Levi, shekoder azkoros, used to erase the names of Hashem from the Torah. And in the place of Hashem's name, he would write the names of idols in the Sefer Torah. Rashi says that as a result of this abominable behavior and practice, he had to hide. Because if he were to do that in public, people wouldn't have let him do that. Notice we have a slash in our Gemara text now, as we featured earlier on the page, the slash that preceded Achov, showing that this preceding section was focused on Achov. We now have a new section of Gemara focusing on Menashe, the third of the kings that has no chelik l'olam haba. And we once again open up with a name analysis. Menashe, she nosha ka, he forgot. Nosha is to forget Hashem. Dover Acher, Menashe, another explanation, Shehinshi es Yisrael Avim Shem Shemayim. He caused to forget. He caused the Jewish people to forget their Father in Heaven, the Almighty. Umenolon de lo osi lamod osi. From where do we know that Menashe doesn't have, he doesn't enter the future world? Dechtiv, the Pasuk says, Ben Shtemis Rei Shona, Menashe b'mocho, he was 12 years old when he ascended the throne, and he ruled for 55 years. Vayas Asherah kasher osa Achov melech Yisrael, and he practiced the Asherah worship. This is a tree worship, like Achov did. Ma Achov ein lo chelek l'mabo, just like we proved earlier that Achov does not have a portion in the world to come. And this we can see if you take advantage of the arrows to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara. You can see the line above toward the end of the last narrow line we said the azuv the olam haba. So just like we showed above that Achav doesn't have a portion in the world to come, af Menashe ain lo chelik lam haba. So too with Menashe. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Menashe yesh lo chelik lam haba. Shenamar. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah claims that Menashe does have a portion in the world to come. The pasuk says vayispalel elav vayoeser lo chulei, that Menashe prayed to God and God answered him. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Ushnei Mikra Echa Darshu, Rabbi Yehuda that says he has a portion in the world to come, and Rabbanan who claim he does not have a portion in the world to come, are basing themselves on the same pasuk. Shneimar, Unesatim Lizavo L'chul Mamluchu Yisoretz Beglal Menashe Ben Yechizkiyo. The expression Lizavo, the Mitzudas David, a commentator on the Tanakh, says that he says kulam yechridu viradu, that all the nations of the world will tremble and fear, shelo yikre lohem kimikrom, that should not happen to them what happened to the Jewish people, so that the Jewish people will be the source of fear, so to speak, because of their downfall to the nations of the world. Mar sovar biglal Menashe she'osa tshuva ve'inhu lo avud. The source of fear that will preoccupy the nations of the world will be for a reason other than what we said, but rather because they will know that Menashe, who was evil, but did penitence, and they don't do penitence. As a result of this contrast, they have what to fear. Umor savar beglal Menashe de'lo avad tshuva, that because of Menashe who did not do tshuva, and all the rest followed in suit, they will be fear-struck. With that, we end the shiur for today.